You know, this pretty amazing quote by this teen. I think he was born in August. Augustine said,
I was born in May.
Yeah. Augustine said, it is not the being seen of men that is wrong, but doing these things for the purpose of being seen of men. The problem with the hypocrite is his motivation. He does not want to be holy. He only wants to seem to be holy. He is more concerned with his reputation for righteousness than about actually becoming righteous. The approbation of men matters more to him than the approval of God.
Ooh.
Pretty heavy.
Welcome to the all-new Name As Many Things As You Can game, where we name as many things as we can. All right, gentlemen. Name as many things, words, or phrases as you can with the word French in them.
French
go.
French toast, French fries,
French people, kiss, French frogs.
A French boy, a French girl, a French dog,
French
French country,
French vanilla, French toast, language. French fries, French poodle, French bulldog, French braid, French bread, French onion soup, which you love, Mark.
Easy, you
French dressing, French horn.
You can put French in front of anything. Yeah, French health.
Why are all these things called French?
Except French victory.
Mm-hmm. Oh, sorry to the French
carriage.
Our French friends who listen in France, because we do have French listeners.
French
all right, Mark. By the way, why do you like French onion soup?
I love
so
French onion
disgusting.
Soup.
Oh, it's so
with
great.
The melted cheese and the caramelized onion and the frothiness.
I wrote a letter to a restaurant once because they changed the recipe of the French onion soup.
Oh, really?
I'll tell you
so much.
I really.
You told me the story.
I felt like doing more than just writing to a restaurant, but when Pickup Six got rid of hot and sour soup, which is a real soup, not a soup with onions, onion soup.
Ugh. No, it's French onions.
Have you guys tried hot and sour soup? Hey, get that bottle off the
hey,
table.
Hey, don't be a hypocrite. You have one in front of yours.
Oh,
wait,
hypocrite.
What? Oh, boy, hypocrite.
Wow. Hypocrite. We should do an episode on hypocrisy.
Did you put that there, Oscar?
Hypocrite.
Look at him call out Ray.
Flaming others.
Shame
look at
on
the
you,
size
Oscar.
Of that plank. See, for those that can't see, that Ray had a water terrible. Bottle hidden behind his iPad.
These guys don't believe in a nice, clean table.
Easy called out Ray, but then Easy had a water bottle hidden behind his.
Yeah, because some terrible person put it there. All right, anyway, French onion soup is disgusting. Name as many words or phrases you can with the word pop in them. Go.
Popcorn, Pop-Tart.
Popsicle.
Popeye.
Popsicle.
K-pop.
Popeye the Sailor Man.
Popeye. K-pop dad.
Pop music.
It's pop.
Pop culture.
Pot pie, not pop pie.
Popeye the Sailor.
Oh, yeah, Popeye the Sailor Man.
That works. Very good. Yeah. Pop quiz, popcorn, popsicles, pop tarts, soda pop, soda pop, blow pop, pop culture, pop music, pop star, pop pills.
Pop pills?
Pop
that
pills.
Sounds terrible.
Pop up, pop tent, pop gun, pop luck. Pop luck. Pop lock. Pop fly. Ray, do you know what pop locking is?
Pop locking. It's where you kind of move your hands.
And Oscar, you knew pop lock?
Yeah.
Look at you.
No, that's not pop lock.
Did you ever pop lock?
Once or twice.
Mark, did you ever pop?
No.
Have you ever danced?
You never
yeah,
tried?
I danced, but I, yeah.
You never tried popping when you were a kid?
I mean, I danced when, at celebrations and stuff. But yeah, no, I'm not a... Eh,
popping,
no.
Popping, break
did you see Pop-Tarts?
Yeah.
I did. Was that on there?
Yeah, no, good one,
cinnamon
Oscar.
And brown sugar Pop-Tart.
Okay, one
that's
more.
To do with Hinduism. I wouldn't do that on this program.
Name as many things, words, and phrases as you can with the word mad in them.
Mad easy.
Mad easy. Go. Mad.
Mad dog.
Mad lib.
Yep. Good. Hopping mad, mad man, mad dog, mad money, mad hatter, raving mad, mad scientist, mad cow disease, gone mad, like mad, mad max, mad libs. Oscar.
Madre?
Think about Mad Libs.
Yeah, Oscar's your own.
Madre. Mad Max, mad about you. Ray, didn't you used to tell me that you used to play a game with your friends where someone was given a word or a topic for 30 seconds and they had to talk about it without
stopping?
No, it
was 60 seconds.
Was it?
Inside of a ping pong ball, go.
Oh, yeah. That was really good.
Yeah.
Good. Okay, so let's try it.
No, I couldn't do that. There's,
yes,
there's
can.
Nothing
you
inside
can.
A ping pong ball.
No, let Easy give you a word. Easy, give Ray a word.
Okay, ready, Ray?
No.
Here we go.
No, he said no.
Here we
I'm
go.
Not ready.
Ready? Here we go.
He's ready.
I'm ready.
Okay. He's ready.
Woman's bike.
Why is that funny to us?
That is a horrible thing to do on the podcast. Ray. I actually purchased a woman's bike once. I thought Easy won't notice it's a woman's bike. It was a good bike. I don't like men's bikes. They're dangerous.
Wow. Good job, Ray.
You know
that
why?
Was the story of his bike life.
Bike life? No, that was actually
the
story.
That bar across a men's bike is dangerous for men.
Okay. Oh. Oscar, watermelon.
I planted a watermelon plant because I wanted to eat watermelons. And so then watermelon grew and I ate the watermelon. The
wow,
end.
Look at that. Okay, Mark, give us a rap with the word. What happened? What happened? Did you do something right?
Oh, it's just this gravity again. I drank a drink of the drink and it spilled on my shirt. And there's a big blob on my shirt.
By the way, listener, here's the thing is by listening, you're actually only getting half the story because we are video recording all of this. And there's just a bunch of ludicrousy that's happening all the time.
Constantly.
That you can't see.
Especially
and the good news.
Those two, man. They're constantly doing stuff.
Those two, like they're seeing who you're pointing to.
Yeah, exactly. Well, they know.
Easy, I'll give you a wrap.
Okay, ready, Mark?
Give me a subject.
Cheese.
Cheese? How is that even possible?
Okay, chili cheese.
I'm going to give it a try. You ready?
He's AI-ing.
Yo, listen up. I got a tale to tell about a food that's creamy and oh so swell. It's yellow. It's gooey. It's got that funk. Yeah, I'm talking about cheese. It's the king of the junk.
Can you do an AI one?
Oh, that was AI.
Yes, it was.
Oh.
That's amazing.
Cheese. It's the bomb melting on nachos in your mom's parm. Cheddar, Swiss, or maybe brie. Any way you slice it, it's the MVP.
Ooh, look at that.
Yeah, it's nothing really.
Have you guys ever tried freestyling? Like ever? Like seriously?
Preaching is freestyling.
Pretty much.
I can't do it.
I'm out.
Yeah, don't try. All right, friends. We have a comment. This is from Josh at Living Waters. Huh?
JoshLivingWaters.com.
How did that happen? The podcast has brought so much transformation to my heart. Hey guys, my name is Josh, and I want to say thank you so much for the fine words that you continually bring every episode. I listen to 4 or 5 every day while I work.
45?
The way you have such a joy and fire from the Lord has helped me to so deeply with the current work the Lord is doing in my heart. It is helping me to become a better husband, worker, friend, and spiritual leader. That's awesome. You all have helped me to recognize and desire a deep and personal love relationship with the Lord. Me and my friends are having incredible conversations based off topics on this show, and we leave feeling so much joy from the amazing Christian community we are able to enjoy together.
Wow.
Thank you for everything you do.
Oh, thank you, Josh.
That's from Joshua?
That's from Josh.
You should have read it in the last program.
Oh, I know. I should have.
Yes.
But man, thank you so much. And guys, I mean, when people say that they're fellowshipping over the things that we're sharing, you know, and it's drawing them to a deeper, close relationship with the Lord, that's why we do this. And so to get feedback like that.
Oh, I wondered why we do this.
No, that's, I'm letting you know why we do this, right? That's why we do this. Yeah. So anyhow.
Thanks, Josh.
Yeah, thank you, Josh, so much.
Thank you, Josh.
Thank you, Josh.
Thanks,
Josh. Appreciate that.
Josh, thank you.
Hey, Josh, real quick, I just wanted to say.
Thank you.
Oh, hey, Josh, thank you. Oh, now you're reminding me of, hey, Phil, thank you for finding my wallet. What a torment. What are you guys doing?
I'm having a drink.
Hey, but you guys, like, you're like
I'm
great gonna, school
just, I'm going to spill it down my shirt. It's going to get there anyway.
Just go get some soap. It's a wash day.
Oh, that's terrible. Every day, Ray, he tries to drink, but whenever he tries to drink, he don't think. That's why he spills the water all the time, and that's why I'm busting this crazy rhyme. Yeah.
Yeah, means I've run out.
Yeah. All right, friends. This podcast is brought to you by Jesus in Red, 365 meditations on the words of Jesus. Ray, probably one of my faves of yours. It's imitation leather, unfortunately, 384 pages, but it looks and
even a cow couldn't tell the difference.
Seriously. But it's a beautiful book.
So I used to work with leather and I cannot tell the difference between modern imitation leather and leather when I feel it. Okay, if I saw the back, I could tell.
What is fake leather?
Yeah.
Fake leather is plastic.
Is it really?
It's really?
Oil,
isn't it?
But how does it have a smell of leather?
They probably put it on there. They get a cow and rub it on there.
Really?
No.
I'm not even thinking, really? There's a line of cows.
They get a cow and they just rub the cow on that plastic. Nah. This will fool them.
Imagine having that job. What do you do? Rub fake leather on cows?
Just a conveyor belt.
Yeah. Oh, man. All right, friends. But check it out. I mean, this is a daily devotional, 365 meditations.
And the reason it's called Jesus in Red is because there's no other words, just the words of Jesus. When Nicodemus came to Jesus, it doesn't say, and Jesus said to Nicodemus, it's just his words.
Yeah, and then you do a little commentary on it.
Yeah.
They're one-pagers. I mean, just a little boost of truth and... Yeah, so good. So anyway, make sure to check it out, friends, along with the Living Waters, M-U-G. That'd be a cool rap name. What's y'all? M-U-G, homie.
Mug.
make sure to get the mugs. Guys, these mugs are nice.
This is my favorite one.
You like it?
Because you're missing a tooth.
Because you removed my tooth on it. And the Evidence Study Bible.com. All at... Yeah, Oscar, we mimed it today. Livingwaters.com. All right, friends, today we are talking about how to avoid being a hypocrite. Why don't we call it hypocrite?
That's not the pronunciation.
That sounds smoother. Yeah, how do you know? Who wait, hold on.
Stop. No, just no, move
no,
forward.
No.
It's, Augustine, move forward.
No. Yeah.
No, don't even get me
who determines how words are pronounced?
And seriously.
There's some stupid words.
Like?
Stupid.
I can't think of them.
That's
they're
stupid.
Just so annoying. I just don't want them in my mind. Like psychiatrist. What's it start with a P for?
I know.
Stop
it. Seriously. Well, I love English because obviously I speak it, but there, it is weird.
Yeah.
Some of the different things
very
that go on.
Confusing.
Yeah. Anyway, forget that. Hypocrisy. Hypocrisy, guys.
Hypocrisy.
Hypocrisy.
Just get on with it.
Why do we do this? But hypocrisy is disgusting.
Yeah.
And all of us have seen it in ourselves. All of us battle with it, if we're honest with ourselves. And Ray... this has stood out to me with you for years.
He's a hypocrite?
Yes. Yes, very much so. But that you really hate hypocrisy and you're always trying to guard against it. Is that what fuels you oftentimes when you're struck with the fear of sharing the gospel with someone? The thought of, I want to be a man who's faithful to God and be a real Christian and not a hypocrite.
Oh, yeah, just that's a good thought. Yeah, I'd hate to call myself a Christian and not share the gospel, because that's what a Christian is, someone who's filled with enough love to share the gospel with people that are going to hell. So for me not to do that, I'd be playing the hypocrite.
No.
Hypocrite means pretender. Is that correct?
Yeah.
It's a some putting a mask on. And
that's where it comes from.
Yeah.
Yeah, the definition dictionary definition is the practice of claiming to have moral standards or beliefs to which one's own behavior does not conform.
We love to give things away. We love to give things away. And that's why we will do that every single day here on the Living Waters podcast. That's right, friends. We're giving away goodies for those of you who go to livingwaters.com/podcast and fill out the form. We are giving 10, believe it or not, 10 different people each week goodies from Living Waters, $100 value for each box. You'll get tracts and books and a podcast mug and all kinds of good things. So make sure to participate at livingwaters.com/podcast. And make sure to listen to the very end of the podcast where you will hear the announcement of the winners every week.
And it's amazing how hypocrisy seems to the world to be confined to the church. The words are synonymous. There's hypocrites in the church. There's hypocrites everywhere.
Yeah.
People pretending to be something they're not.
Wow.
That's the end of that statement.
And scene.
Well, you know, this is a good place to camp out on real quick, because a lot of people do use that as an excuse, Mark, right? I'm not a Christian. You guys are a bunch of hypocrites, right? The church is full of hypocrites.
Yeah.
And I think we need to walk people through that a little more than we do. I think to kind of help shed some light on it, and just to simply ask them, what do you think about lying? What do you think about stealing? What do you think about, you know, and you could obviously bring in the commandments through this. And then just ask them, have you ever done any of those after they tell you, oh, those things are wrong? Well, you're a hypocrite.
I mean, yeah, there's a way to be on the offense or the defense concerning this conversation. right? I mean, the only person who could possibly be a hypocrite is somebody who sets up a moral value system. If somebody doesn't have a moral value system, then it's impossible for them to be a hypocrite. So an atheist who perhaps has no moral value system could never go against the system that he sets up, right? But there's a difference here, right? Because we're not saying that you need to act a certain way and then never be able to attain to that system. That's why we have an advocate who steps in for us and he intercedes on our behalf, right? Hypocrite comes from the word actor. And William Shakespeare said, the world is a stage, we are the actors, and we put a different mask on depending on who's in front of us, right? And that's really not the case for the Christian, though. The Christian is who he or she says they, or the other 135 genders are. But you are who you claim to be. And when you mess up, and you will mess up, you ask for forgiveness to those who you have done wrong to. An atheist claims that there is no God. A practical atheist claims there is a God, but then acts as if there is no God. And nobody likes a hypocrite, right? Spurgeon said that the thing that stinks the most in the world is a hypocrite, right? We understand that. Nobody likes hypocrisy. So become a Christian, and there will be no hypocrites in heaven because we've gotten right with God and we confess when we mess up.
So good. You know, this pretty amazing quote by this teen. I think he was born in August. Augustine said,
I was born in May.
Augustine said, it is not the being seen of men that is wrong, but doing these things for the purpose of being seen of men. The problem with the hypocrite is his motivation. He does not want to be holy. He only wants to seem to be holy. He is more concerned with his reputation for righteousness than about actually becoming righteous. The approbation of men matters more to him than the approval of God.
Ooh.
Pretty heavy. But yeah, right, Ray? It's that attitude of wanting to appear a certain way that will oftentimes lead people to being hypocritical. What are you caught up in?
Yeah, I'm caught up in my own thoughts. Nothing scares me like hypocrisy. I never want to be a hypocrite, and because hypocrisy has with it self-deception. David played the hypocrite when he committed adultery, committed murder. Nathan came to him, and he used a parable to bring light on his own hypocrisy, because David stood up and said, the man that stole the other man's lamb, he will restore fourfold, and he will die. Wow. And that's when the finger of Nathan came straight to his face and said, you are the man.
Wow.
You're saying you're playing the hypocrite. You're being a pretender. And the thing is that will guard us from hypocrisy is the fear of the Lord, to understand the eye of the Lord is in every place, beholding evil and the good. And so if we've got a wrong understanding of God's nature and character, then we'll play the hypocrite. If we do understand that he's discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart, and that he sees the middle atom of the sun because he made it, that should take a breath away and think, boy, this God is to be feared. I can't fool him, and I dare not fool myself with hypocrisy.
Wow.
That's really good.
Yeah. You know, Oscar, when Peter was rebuked by Paul in Galatians 2, he said the rest of the Jews also played the hypocrite with him, so that even Barnabas was carried away with their hypocrisy. And man, first of all, I just love God's word. Like, it's honesty.
But no wonder Paul had so many scars.
Peter probably beat him up after that. but you know what I'm saying? Like that Peter was playing the hypocrite. His hypocrisy influenced others.
Yeah.
And the hypocrisy was that they would eat with the Gentiles, but when certain you know, brethren from James came who were, you know, opposed to that, then he stopped, he pulled away. And Paul called him on it. He confronted him to his face. And again, like in keeping with what Augustine said, there is that desire to appear a certain way before people. And that's what leads to hypocrisy often.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm thinking about Thomas Watson's book on repentance, which is one of the best books you can read on repentance. He points out that hypocrisy, We often create this caricature of hypocrisy. Like, there's this self-righteous snob out there that thinks he's got no sin and is just staring down everyone else's sin. But he points out that hypocrites don't claim to be perfect. They just claim their sins aren't that bad. Listen to this quote by Thomas Watson.
That's a good way to put it.
And he was a Puritan.
He was a Puritan, yes. He says, a gracious soul labors to make the worst of his sins, but hypocrites make the best of them. They do not deny they are sinners, but they do what they can to lessen their sins. You see, hypocrites, their response to sin is to lessen it, to minimize it, and then to maximize the sin in other people.
Wow. You know, it's a good way to put it because, yeah, I mean, I think subconsciously our minds default to, well, hypocrites are people that, yeah, act like they're perfect, but they're not. But no, it's like, oh, yeah, but there's that justification, that lightening, that elevating themselves above others, because that's how you make yourself feel better about yourself. Right. I'm not as bad as them, yep. Or, you know, this wasn't that bad, right?
And it's in our nature. We want to feel safe. We want to feel in. We want to feel closer to God. And so what we do, instead of repenting, finding the sin in our own lives, at some point in our faith journey, we start to compare ourselves to other people. Well, at least I'm not like that guy. At least I'm not like my neighbor. At least I've repented of that. And we stop focusing on how the Lord means to work in our own hearts,
yeah.
And instead focus on others.
Right. Mark, Romans 2:21-22. Mm-hmm. You therefore, which that teaches another, do you teach not? Thou that preachest a man should not steal, dost thou steal? Thou that sayest a man should not commit adultery, dost thou commit adultery? Thou that abhorrest idols, dost thou commit sacrilege?
Perhaps you shouldn't have gone with the King James.
I know. I don't know how I ended up with the King James here.
It sounded like a tape deck.
Yes, I believe that should be canon.
It's the hesitation version.
Yeah. So,
what's your question? Should that be canon? Yes.
So, but that, I mean, here's Paul pointing out really the essence of hypocrisy, of also coming at it from the standpoint of not just, you know, pretending to adhere to a certain moral conduct, but even teaching, even proclaiming, but then living opposite.
Yeah, I think preachers, especially teachers, pastors, should take note of this, that as Moody said, the outflow should be the overflow. He said, fill me with your spirit because I leak. Right, that I walk in places perhaps that I shouldn't walk, and my feet get dirty and they need to be washed. So we need to ideally have the outflow of what we share with people be the overflow of what we are receiving. And oftentimes, preachers get inside this rut where the Bible just becomes a teaching book, and they don't stop and introspectively examine to see where they're at. That they don't allow the work to happen inside of them so that the work can happen through them to the people that are listening. Wow. But we need to be careful of that, because it's easy for a preacher to become a hearer and not a doer, and he knows the word better than anybody else inside the sanctuary. You know, Spurgeon said, serve God with integrity, and if you achieve no success, well, at least you will lie upon your conscience free and clear.
Wow.
Right.
I love that word integrity. It reminds me of the glasses that I'm wearing. They're made of titanium. I've mentioned it before. Have I mentioned this before?
Yeah, they don't break. Watch.
Yeah, I like.
Phrase bending.
You can actually twist them and like that, and they always go back to their integrity.
They maintain their integrity.
They maintain their integrity. So there's a right way and a wrong way, and you go back to the right way.
Yeah. It's such a scourge, especially for children growing up in a home where there is hypocrisy. And, you know, Ray, we had some pastors here at the ministry yesterday, and we all went around and kind of shared different things with them. And I asked Daniel to weigh in because he's been here the longest. He grew up in your home. But it was
my son.
Yeah, Daniel, your son. But it was such a joy to hear him say that my dad is the same person you see publicly as he is in private. You know, that.
Yeah, how does that make you feel, Ray, when your son says that?
Short.
He's been the same height ever since he was in kindergarten.
Yeah, but
it was thrilling. It really was. It was very kind, because Daniel's kind of conservative, yeah. And he's New Zealand. He's not American in that sense.
Yeah.
And so for him to bring his feelings out that like that was just great.
Yeah.
Very heartwarming.
Recently, Rachel and I were at a conference where we were doing a marriage conference, and someone asked her about you. What was it like growing up in Ray Comfort's home? And she, I often hear her say these words when she talks about it, but she says, he is the real deal. And that's such a joy to hear that. And those of you listening right now, ask yourselves, what would your kids say about you if they were asked about you? Like, honestly and sincerely, would they really be able to say, look, my parents are far from perfect. They make mistakes. But even when they sin, they make it right with us.
That's good.
Mark, wouldn't you say that that's a hallmark of someone that really seeks to avoid hypocrisy is that they genuinely repent.
Is that the whole mark?
You know, Todd Friel says that your kids should know that you're the biggest sinner inside the house, not because you're sinning more than anybody in the house, but they hear, I'm sorry, more than anyone else in the house, that you are leading by example. And when you mess up, you fess up. So, yeah, I agree. Yeah. Good stuff.
Yeah. Oscar, Romans 12:9.
Selah.
Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. You know, often we'll hear the other part quoted, abhor what is evil, cling to what is good, but it's preceded by let love be without hypocrisy. Because it really does come down to love for God and other people and avoiding what's evil and clinging to the things that are good in connection with man, isn't it?
Absolutely. And to, you know, we often make little our sin. We think it's not so bad. And then it escalates, you know, it gives birth ultimately to death. And Thomas Watson, going back to his book, I think he actually references Romans 12, leading into this, but he talks about King Saul. And he points out that Saul, when he conquered the land, he was called to destroy everything, but then he holds some things back. And when Samuel approaches him about the spoils, Saul's excuse is, I'm keeping it for the Lord. And Samuel's response to Saul is very interesting. Uh-huh. He basically accuses him of witchcraft, which seems like, whoa, Samuel, calm down. Like, he said he's keeping it for the Lord, you know? But you fast forward in Saul's life, and at the end of his life, what does he do? He visits the witch of Endor.
Wow.
And so, in other words, the point is this, is that what seemed like the smallest of compromises that was excused away so quickly ended up becoming a grave sin in his life. To abhor what is evil is to not think little of your sin, but to see it in light of the way God sees it, which is something to kill.
Yeah. Wow. I love that. Yeah. And, you know, Ray, I want to touch. What, are you writing a book, Ray?
I'm predicting your question.
You are.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, give it a go.
Look at that. So you're okay. Go ahead. Answer my question.
Yeah. The question. The answer is, Judas was perhaps the greatest of all hypocrites.
Good.
Because he was such a pretender, but it wasn't evident. You know, what would Judas's mother think of Judas? Nice kid. You know, what his friends think of him? What did the disciples think of him? Anyway, when he went out to betray Jesus, they said he's gone out to give money to the poor. You know, he was trusted as the treasurer.
Yeah.
And his hypocrisy was confined to his heart. Mm. It wasn't evident. And that should scare us.
Wow.
Because it's self-delusionary. It's self-deceptive. And sin is deceptive. And that's why we need the fear of God to bring it out. And that's why we need to cry, I think, Psalm 139. Search me, O God, and try me. Know my heart.
Yeah.
There's any wicked way in me, let it be known.
Oh, man, that's so good. You know, like, there are those times when just dumb thoughts, you know, pop in our minds.
All the time.
As you guys know very well. And, you know, but there's that consolation. Because, right, we do talk about the aspect of people saying, God knows my heart, like it's a good thing.
That's a problem.
You know, and it's like, okay, well, you got a problem there. But for the Christian, though, there is that consolation that God knows my heart, in the sense that when a thought pops into your mind, obviously it's coming forth from your sinful nature. But like Paul said in Galatians, the flesh lusts against the spirit against the flesh. These are contrary to one another, so that you may not do that which you wish. The you is a regenerated spiritual man that longs and seeks to please and honor the Lord. So there is that consolation. Like when thoughts that I abhor and detest pop into my mind, there's a consolation. The Lord knows my heart, the regenerated man, that I don't want that. And I don't have to freak out and flip out. I can just, Lord, forgive me of my wicked heart, but thank you that, you know, I don't want that, Lord.
You know, Peter had that same sort of encounter with Jesus, didn't he? When he said, do you love me? You know, feed my sheep. And they were going back and forth. And then finally, when Jesus finally asked him, you know, do you love me? And he says, Lord, you know all things. Like, I don't even know my heart, right? You're switching up the words love, the agape and phileo back and forth. And Lord, you know, I don't even know. And I say that continually to the Lord. I go, Lord, you know, I don't want to be deceived. You know, when I was in school, I got voted most polite But what I wanted was to be a Comic-Con man. And inside my yearbook, a Christian wrote inside my yearbook, because I claimed to be a Christian when I was in high school because I made a profession of faith in eighth grade. Yeah. And he wrote inside my yearbook, and I'll never forget it. He said, "You are the most rebellious Christian I've ever met."
Whoa.
And it struck my heart, and it was really a catalyst to what would happen just a few months later when I became born again.
Man, that's heavy.
You wanted to become a what? Comic-Con?
A con man.
Oh, a con man.
Wow. Well, yeah.
That's terrible.
Terrible.
It took a minute to sink in.
I watched a movie called Pacific Heights with Michael Keaton, where Michael Keaton was a con man, and he would con old ladies out of money and stuff, and I'm thinking, I could do that.
I like the idea of Mark being in, like, kindergarten. What would you like to be, little boy? I want to be a con man.
I was about to say the exact same thing. It's funny. Yeah. So, all right. So, Ray, here's a good point. What I want us to do, I want us to jump into Matthew 23, where Jesus is talking to the hypocritical Pharisees. And I want to just touch on a few of those things and get your thoughts on them. But Ray, I want to kick it off because this is also key. This is the beginning. Jesus says, then Jesus spoke to the multitudes and to his disciples, saying, "The scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. Therefore, whatever they tell you to observe, that observe and do. But do not do according to their works, for they say and do not do." That's pretty interesting and pretty heavy. But for those who say, I don't want to go to church because pastors are hypocrites or whatever, Jesus here is effectively saying, hey, do what is truly preached, but don't follow the example of those who do it.
Yes.
Thank you.
I agree with Ray. No. Yes. No, Oscar, thoughts?
I'm gonna side with Ray. Sorry, Easy. I'm on Ray's side on this one.
It's like a flight attendant telling you how to jump out of a plane, how to put the parachute on, and they're not even listening or thinking what they're doing, but listen to what they're telling you. Look at the sheet, the instruction, because your life is on the line here. And so people should listen to what the gospel says and not worry about the lifestyle of the person that's given it to them.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I've heard stories of people that got saved by hearing a faith preacher who happened to be preaching the death and resurrection of Christ, repentance of sin. And it's that saying, right? God can draw a line with a crooked stick, a straight line with a crooked stick. Again, this in no way endorses or justifies false teachers. But the point is that someone can speak truth, and that truth should be obeyed despite the person.
Yeah, like that's the word despite them.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I do like the idea of you, what did you just use, endorsing my preaching by saying the Lord can draw a straight line with a crooked
stick.
That's
right. That's you, Oscar, pretty much. So anyway, that's important to keep in mind. And this sets the tone basically for everything that Jesus is about to say, all of his rebukes of their hypocrisy, because he went on to say, they say and do not do according to their, they say but do not do. And then he says, "For they bind heavy burdens hard to bear and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers." Man,
I love Matthew 23 because it gets rid of the whole thought that Jesus is meek and mild.
Yeah.
You know, when people say, "Oh, Jesus just says love one another." Well, read Matthew 23. Scathing.
Yeah.
Dude, how should you escape the damnation of hell? Hypocrites.
Yeah. Yeah.
Man, just incredible.
I know. It's powerful. And again, it goes to show that if there was anything that Jesus despised, it was hypocrisy. I mean, he was hanging out with sinners, tax collectors, the down and outs, the overtly sinful
Arabs,
Lebanese people like me. But he hung out with them because they weren't hypocrites in the sense that they were people with religious influence, but were just wicked in their hearts and abusing people, you know? All right, so let's start with the first woe. "But woe to you," verse 13, "scribes and hypocrites, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. For you neither go in yourselves, nor do you allow those who are entering to go in. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you devour widows' houses and for a pretense make long prayers. Therefore, you receive greater condemnation." Ray, I'm putting myself like in their shoes here right now.
This is the Son of God speaking.
Full body shiver.
Yeah.
How would you give a synonym for the word woe? I mean, it's not the horse. Whoa.
Yeah.
What does it mean?
I would say,
you're in big trouble.
Yeah, like,
dare you?
Yeah, like, man, you're in. Yeah, that's the best way to put it. You're in big trouble. Woe unto you.
if you said that to your kid, because he'd burn the house down when you get home.
Whoa.
Yeah. So Oscar here, he's saying, you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for you neither go in yourselves, nor do you allow those who are entering to go in. Wow. You're not going to heaven, but you're barring others from God's kingdom.
Yeah. You know, and that's actually one of my favorite verses in a weird way, because it reminds me of, as a communicator of God's word, to be careful on how I preach, because often we can lay the burden on the, of the law of God on people and not provide grace and not point them to the gospel, and rather just have people like, I don't ever want people to walk away from our sermons going, man, I don't pray enough. I don't read my Bible enough. I don't preach the gospel enough. I want people to walk away going, man, God has done enough for me, therefore I can go and do these things, right? It's the difference between I obey, therefore I am accepted, versus I am accepted, therefore I obey.
Wow. Hmm. Love that. You know, Randy Elkhorn said, the worse we realize we are, the greater we will realize God's grace is.
That's good.
That's true. It is. I mean, Ray often talks about that, right? You have to have that back, that black backdrop to appreciate, you know, the diamond that's placed on it. And you have to see the wretchedness of your sin to appreciate the grace of God.
Those Pharisees he was rebuking actually didn't just live hypocrisy, they despised others, which shows the wickedness of their heart. They looked down in condescension upon quote, sinners, without any grace in their heart.
Yeah, and at the root of it is this, it's this intense selfishness. It's love for self. It's wanting to be better than others. It's wanting to exercise power and authority over others, you know, and that's so despised by the Lord. Verse 15, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you travel land and sea to win one proselyte, and when he is won, you make him twice as much a son of hell as yourself. Mark, you don't often hear this quoted at nice seeker sense.
Well, how to make friends and influence people.
Twice a son of hell as yourself. I mean, what do you say to that, Mark?
Ouch, right? I mean, take heed. You know, we got word today, a couple pastors have fallen into sexual sin. Yeah. Whatever that means to fallen, right? They were long gone long before it was ever exposed. But it's like, you know, take heed. Take heed lest you fall, lest you stumble. You know, attempt to restore such a one. And my heart is obviously burdened, you know, for something like this. And I want to be a man of integrity in all that I do. And the only person who hates integrity is the one who loves hypocrisy, who loves deceit and deception. And I don't want to be that person. I want to live my life in an honorable way. Yeah. I want, when that day comes and God says, well done, good and faithful servant, I want him to mean it.
Yeah.
Amen. Jesus is saying to them, you make twice the sons of hell, you reproduce after your own kind.
Right.
That's what's happening.
Yeah. Yeah, because you're winning them to your ways. Yes. And in essence, they're even further down, because now you're adding hypocrisy to them, you know? And man, you just think of the load of excuses people are going to give on the day of judgment.
Yeah, do you think they'll actually give any excuses?
Mouth will be stopped. The Bible says they won't be able to say a word. I mean, what are you saying when you're facing forked lightning coming towards you?
Yeah. Go ahead, Ray, you were going to say something.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't care what people call me as long as they don't call me a hypocrite. You can call me anything you want.
Stumpy?
Yeah, Stumpy, that's right.
Short?
The Banana Man, Apple Man. Whatever you want, just
gorgeous.
Go for it. It doesn't
handsome.
It doesn't worry me.
You're more of a plantain.
Hypocrisy just would cut me in half if someone says you're a hypocrite, because I never want to do that.
Yeah. You know, I often think of what Jesus said.
Thank you, Mark, for those.
No. Good. Debonair, good looking, athletic. None of it's true. So, Ray, easy. You're going to say something, and I want you to say something. But I'd love for us somewhere along the last few minutes here. To how do we avoid hypocrisy?
Yeah, yeah.
What are some parameters that we can set up?
Yeah, that's where I wanted to go with that. I think that, you know, we need to first recognize that God knows our hearts. And so that should, as we mentioned earlier, both terrify us and relieve us. But it should also remind us of the fact that God can't be deceived. It's like, you know,
Mark, you and I have dealt with a couple situations where I knew the actions of a person and I was very well aware of what they had done. And I had them on tape recorded having done it. And they sat before me and they denied it. And I gave them what seemed like 500 chances to come clean, and they wouldn't.
Which seems like the most uncomfortable situation I've ever been in is watching you put somebody through a ringer. I've been through it a couple times with Easy. Waiting for the recorder. Because you would obviously remember if you did this sort of thing, wouldn't you?
Yeah, you know, right? Of course. Now, you're sure, like, it's not possible, like, you may have forgotten. Oh, no, of course not. This guy was getting mad. He had basically, he had called a girl and cussed her out on a recording. It was back then, it was answering machines.
Yeah.
So there was actually a tape. And so, you know, he's no way, absolutely not, no. And he was like getting vehement, like angry that I kept pushing it and pushing it.
So you were wanting him to humble himself and come clean, if you're honest.
Yeah. And, oh, she's a liar. I would never use those words. I would never
do
that.
But Easy asks the same question like in 20 different
there
ways.
Knowing he
I'm not
has
saying
the
a
tape.
Word. This is Easy's gifting.
Well, this is when Mark and I were pastoring together, you know, and this guy. So anyway, so I just reach behind my back. I was sitting in a chair and I had it behind me. I pull out a recorder and I just
pull the pen out and you toss it.
And I just hit play.
What did the guy do?
And you know, it was you blankety blank on the recording. You blankety blank blank blank. I mean, it was
bad.
This is like a Nathan moment.
And it was like his, because he's, I mean, in his mind, yeah, right. The girl, how would Easy know, right?
Yeah.
It's like she's going to come and give him the tape. We didn't have, you can, you know, just send it an email or send a file. And Mark, he like went white, man.
Did he?
It was. Yeah.
Easy, you've done that like a handful of times that I'm like, that's not my gift.
Oh, but because you want someone to come clean, but when they don't, you want them to feel the weight of what they've done.
Easy's good at bringing that weight.
Yeah. So anyway, so I think we need to recognize God sees all. And that should, and we're going to give account for
He's going to bring out the tape.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Amen. And we need to lay it out right, Ray. I mean, we need to understand we're going to give account.
Yeah. That's why you got to look in people's eyes. Let me just share something from Exodus 3, Exodus 4, Moses didn't know what to say when he was going to Egypt. And God says, what's in your hand? He says, it's a rod. Throw it down. Hmm. He says, turn it into a serpent. And he picked it up by the tail. And Moses was terrified until he picked it up by the tail. This is a threefold strategy that God is giving to reach the lost. Throw down the law. You can grab it by its tail. It can't bite you. Jesus likened that law in John 3:16. He says, as Moses lifted up the serpent, the law is a biting serpent. Paul said, that law, the commandment, which I thought was ordained to life, was death to me. It bit me. The wages of sin is death. And you and I can take it by the tail. It won't hurt us. And use it in evangelism as a schoolmaster to bring sinners to Christ. Second strategy God gave, he says, put your hand in your bosom, in your breast. Pull it out. Leprous, put it in again. It's clean. That's our own testimony.
Right.
Our unclean heart. Wow. Leprous heart. And God cleansed us. And he says, if they won't listen to you then, he said, pour water on the ground, let it turn to blood, which is the judgment of God. And that's what I often go to. I go to the law. People say, my friends are in hell. Give my testimony. Say, this is true. I know what I'm saying is true.
Wow.
And then if they won't come, they won't humble themselves. I say, well, if your eyes meet my eyes on judgment day and you're still in your sins, I'm free from your blood.
Wow.
So I'm not held back from telling you the truth. And you're going to look back and say, that day in California when you spoke to me, why didn't you slap my face? I said, can't slap your face because you'd be offended. All I can do is slap you with words because we're talking about your eternity. Mm. This is your life.
Amen.
And that's what we've got to do. That's the issue that's at stake, and especially with a hypocrite. He's deceiving himself.
Yeah.
And so we must do all we can to awaken the hypocrite and say to him, woe to you. You know, come to the cross and be honest with God.
Right. Amen. Oscar, wouldn't you say another important thing to do to avoid hypocrisy is to ask those who are closest to you to tell you the truth about what they see?
It takes too long.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think to be known, you know, you talked earlier about leaders who fall. I've read a few books on leadership, and one of the common things that they've talked about is how leaders will tend to become isolated. And at first it becomes like this thing where it's like, well, I just, you know, I'm in this position, people look up to me, and I don't want them to know this small little thing. And the problem with that is that small little thing, as we talked about earlier, becomes bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger, and it becomes a grievous, disqualifying, harmful thing, something that that starts as a temptation, gives birth eventually to death. And one of the ways, whether you're the leader of a church, an organization, of your own home, it doesn't matter. Wherever you are, if you aren't known, if you aren't truly known by a local church, if you aren't known in such a way that guys are invited in to go, man, like, I'm starting to see this in you.
Yeah.
Because that should be a welcomed thing. As Christians, man, we should welcome friends and people our lives are going, hey, you know what? I'm starting to see this, because then we get to run in repentance back to Christ. Our hearts are deceitful. They're not deceitful and wicked towards, they don't deceive God. Our hearts deceive ourselves.
Yeah.
We hide our sins from ourselves. And often the Lord uses people in our lives to find those little cracks and to reveal them to us before they turn into something bigger.
Wow. That's good. Yeah, and Mark, also another remedy to hypocrisy is a real devotional life, like where you're really, really sitting with the Lord. We mentioned it, I think, on another podcast, of the importance of meditation, you know, not just like I read the Bible or, you know, or I just even, I think Oscar talked about meditating in prayer, like, you know, thinking on the things we're bringing before the Lord. But how key is that to avoid hypocrisy?
Yeah, devotional life really is the focus of devotion, that it is a moment-by-moment reliance upon the King of Kings for your marching orders. You know, the first thing I do when I wake up is I reach over for the Word of God. And I want the Word of God to be the flagship inside of my life and to lead me into murky waters. I'm relying upon him. I need him. I don't know how bad I need him. My prayer as of late has just been, Lord, protect me from myself.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know what I'm capable of doing. And I've seen different things that I've done. And I've been surprised with those things. We need not be surprised when we do things, you know, because the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Devotional life will take that away, realizing you need to be devoted to him. He's devoted to you. Pause. Don't just live life. Don't go from activity to activity, show to show, game to game. Just pause and take it in. Is this honoring to the Lord? You know, I went to put on a movie the other day with my wife and I, and we watched through VidAngel. Mm-hmm. But we put on VidAngel and we're looking at the different things that are wrong with the film. And I go, no, this is not something that I would normally watch, even if it didn't have these things that we're going to take out. You know, it's just not right. When you have something that has, say, 30 F-bombs inside of it, what am I even considering this for? This is not right.
Right.
And so, yeah, there's just a devotion, and everybody's watching us make those decisions, especially our kids.
Yeah. And Ray, our devotional life, like Mark is insinuating, it's the catalyst. Our devotions, meaning the times when we're in prayer and in the Word, that you know, segregated time or our time of seclusion, it should be the catalyst for a life of devotion where we're in communion with the Lord throughout the day.
Yeah, life devoted to His will and His honor and His ways. You know, I often think of that Bible verse, if any man loves not our Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema. That's got to be powerful, because that's the essence of what a Christian is. Do you love Jesus or do you not? Yeah. Do you live for him or do you not?
Amen.
There is this book on marriage that I read, and they simplified it down into these very common acts, like habits that you would have with your wife. And they statistically said, if you do these things, you're more likely to stay married to your wife. And there was a few simple ones. There was like, don't leave the house in the morning without kissing her.
Yeah.
Don't go to bed at night without having a conversation with no screens. That's similar with our devotion.
Having a conversation with no what?
With no screens.
Okay.
Without
don't without scream like at each other.
Screams.
No screen.
You know, you're not watching ice TV. Yeah, ice cream. Ice cream's okay. But anyways, the point that I'm trying to make is why not do the same with the Lord? Yeah. Why not start every morning out, you know, kissing the word of God, spending time in his word, every day spending time in meditative prayer. Those are ways in which it enriches our love and our adoration for our Savior.
Amen.
Kiss the sun.
Yeah. Lest he be angry. Yeah. And you know, friends, I think it's summed up with these last couple woes that Jesus gave. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, which indeed appear beautiful outwardly, but inside are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. Even so, you also outwardly appear righteous to men, but inside you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. The previous verses, he said, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you clean the outside of the cup and dish, but inside they are full of extortion and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisee, first cleanse the inside of the cup and dish, that the outside of them may be also clean.
Well, there's so much there, isn't there?
So much. And basically, hypocrisy is, again, dealing with the externals, pretending to be a certain way when the inside hasn't been dealt with. And you have to come under the light of God to reveal those things to you and be determined to repent and turn from them so you can be a faithful witness. All right, friends, that's all we have time for. Don't forget, Jesus in Red, 365 meditations on the words of Jesus. And Living Waters mug, the Evidence Study Bible, all at livingwaters.com. And thank you for your support. Keep listening, keep sharing, keep commenting. Remember, podcast at livingwaters.com with your thoughts. And guys, by the way, why not wait until we're done to start putting all your stuff
away?
Oh,
we're excited to get out of here.
I'm going
to
get out of here. Crazy air up here, Brian. Thank you for joining us, friends. We'll see you here next time on the Living Waters podcast, where we have no idea what we're doing. Still and forever.
Amen.
You thought we forgot. No, no, we didn't, friends. This week's podcast winners. We've got Elizabeth from Elk River, Minnesota, Kathy from Libby, Montana, Rebecca from Homestead, Florida, Elias from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, Lilac from Blaine, Washington, Michelle from Daytona Beach, Florida, Kimberly from Lowell, Arkansas, Tarina from Dursley, United Kingdom, and last but definitely not least, Margaret from Brussels, Canada. Yes, you are getting the stuff. It's coming, but don't keep it. Give it away, friends.